Before creation, there was eternity, an eternity that had no beginning. And after the second coming of Christ, there will be eternity, an eternity that will have no end. And we live in a period sandwiched in between eternity and eternity called time. And time, for you and I individually, is the period between our birth and our death. Ben Franklin said these words, "Does thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff that life is made of." Do not squander time. Do not waste time, because time is the stuff life is made of, and it is remarkable stuff. And so this morning, I want us to look at why time is so remarkable. Number one, time is valuable. The law of supply and demand says that if there is a limited amount of something and everyone wants it, then the price is driven up. And if there is a large amount of something and no one wants it, then the price is driven down. And so time is in short supply, but is in high demand. And so time is very valuable. And the problem is that most of us don't really realize how valuable time is until it's gone. Life expectancy has increased over the years with modern medicine and modern medical advances. But if you really think about it, the length of a life today really isn't much different than what the psalmist wrote about in Psalm 90 and verse 10. "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Time goes by so quickly, even 100 years or more goes by so quickly. C.S. Lewis said these words, "The future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour, whatever he does, whoever he is." We cannot escape the speed of life. In Job 7 and verse 6, Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." The purpose of a weaver's shuttle is to convert thread into cloth as quickly as possible. And that's life. It's quick. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, he writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." You know, when it's cold outside, we can see our breath. But it's not in the air very long, and then it's gone. And that's life. It's brief. Even if we live 100 years, time is in short supply, and so time is very valuable. Number two is that time is irretrievable. Once it's gone, we can never get it back. You can lose money and find it. You can lose love and rekindle it. You can lose a friendship and restore it. You can lose your reputation and rebuild it. You can lose health and regain it. But when you lose time, you never find it again. It's just gone. Has there ever been a moment in time that you wish that you could go back to? There are times in our lives where we can think and we wish that we could go back and relive those days again because they were good. Or there are times in our life where we wish that we could go back and change those days because they were bad. But we can't go back. It's irretrievable. The Lord said these words in Isaiah 43:18, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And so what this teaches us is that God says the past is gone, but there is a future of good that the Lord is preparing for us. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Because time is irretrievable. You can't get it back. Number three, time slips away. Sometimes we view time as going by very slowly. A watched pot never boils. And what that saying means is that when we're anticipating something, it seems like forever for that something to ever come to pass. Or we may say things like, it's like watching paint dry. When we're kids, we can't wait until it's our birthday. Then we can't wait to be teenagers. Then we can't wait to start driving. We can't wait to graduate. We can't wait to get out on our own. We can't wait to get married. We can't wait to have kids. We can't wait for that promotion at work. We can't wait for the weekend. We can't wait for our next vacation. We can't wait for retirement. Time seems to go so slowly when we're anticipating the next event. But then we soon reach a day when we turn around and we say, where did the time go? Time sure does fly. I just wish I had more time. You know, I can't believe that this year is 20 years since Leslie and I got married. We'll be in July. And you look back and you think, where did all that time go? It's elusive. It slips away. We talk about saving time as though there's some bank where you can deposit a few minutes here and there and withdraw some hours or days later on. But we can't save time. We talk about making time as though there's some time factory somewhere that extra time can be produced and then we can maybe purchase some of that. But you can't make time. We talk about finding time as though there's some time lost somewhere. And if we can just find it, we'll have it. We'll have more. But you can't find time. Everyone has the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. And it's given to us up front by God. And the difference is, what do we do with the time that we have? Do we use it properly or do we waste it? Rochelle Goodrich said, minutes may seem as worthless as pennies until you add them up. Jesus knew the importance of making the most of his time. In John chapter 9, verses 4 through 5, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in this world, I am the light of the world. Jesus was only on this work, on this earth for 33 years. But he recognized that he only had a limited amount of time to do the things that he needed to do while he was on this earth. In Jesus' day, of course, there was no electricity. And so people worked during the day and they slept at night. And so this analogy carried a lot of weight, especially then. The night is coming when no one can work. And when Jesus made this statement, he was about 32 years old. He only had about a year left to live. And so the sun was going down in Jesus' life. He was at the end of his day. It was already getting dark for Jesus. And I too must recognize that the sun is going down in my life. It is going down in your life. The night is going to come, and we don't know when the night is going to come. And so there are opportunities every day in this world to work for the Lord. Every day we have another opportunity to shine our lights before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, we read, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." This word redeem means to buy up for oneself for one's use. So literally to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make time our own. It is doing good works with the time that we have for others and for our Father. In Colossians 4 and verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." In Psalm 90 and verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Time management is simply a matter of budgeting. We have a limited amount of money. Even somebody like Elon Musk, who wants to buy Twitter, everybody has a limited amount of money. And so we have to decide what we're going to spend our money on. It's a matter of budgeting. And certainly we all have a limited amount of time. And so we have to decide to what to spend our time on. We have to budget our use of time because it's not unlimited. Living for God, living for others, living for our family, and not just living for ourselves. We have to budget our time to do that. Being wise and recognizing that we're not going to be here much longer. And so taking opportunity to live for God in the things that we do, because time slips away. Number four, time is uncertain. You and I woke up this morning, but not everybody did. And there will be a day when I do not wake up. Tomorrow is not a certain thing. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God.'" The main three words I want to focus on in this parable is "for many years." This man said, "I have plenty laid up for many years." And that very night, his soul was required of him. We don't know when that day will be. We should make plans. We should save money. We should schedule appointments. We should anticipate future events, but always knowing that time is uncertain, but eternity is certain. And so we need to be rich toward God. Number five, God is in control of time. Some people say that time is something that man created. Something that man invented, that man came up with so that we can function within this world. But that's simply not true. That's not what the scriptures teach. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, we read that God created time. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." God created time and God controls time. In Psalm 31, verses 14 through 15, As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God created time, and God is in control of time. And because of this, we can have confidence in the promise that there will come a day when time is going to be eliminated. Time is going to be swallowed up by eternity. In Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37, of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 4, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when you say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon you as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Because God is in control of time, and it will end when He determines for it to end. And number six, today is the day of salvation, and there is no time for delay. In Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 27, we read that after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given to him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. He was afraid when he learned about the judgment to come. And so he said, "At a more convenient time, I'll call for you." But he was concerned about the money that he might be given by Paul. He was concerned about doing the Jews a favor. He was concerned about things that are temporary, things that are only pertaining to this life. And this time, it appears, never came for Felix. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Romans 13:11, "Do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." We don't know if we're going to have a tomorrow. And in fact, tomorrow really isn't something that exists, because when tomorrow gets here, it will no longer be tomorrow, it will be today. And so the only day that we ever have is today. The only day we have is today. Today is the day of salvation. There is no time to delay. Time is valuable. Time is irretrievable. Time slips away. Time is uncertain. God is in control of time, and there's no time for delay. And it seems that most people, including myself, have a goal in life to live to a ripe old age. Methuselah, we read in the Bible, lived to be 969 years old. but he didn't live to 970. Methuselah died. And so much more important than adding days to our life is adding life to our days. Taking advantage of every day, making the most of every day to the glory of God. There's a poem written by Linda Ellis called The Dash. You may have heard it. In fact, it's become so popular that it's even got its own website. Most popular things have their own website these days. So this poem has its own website, but it's called The Dash by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and to show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, when your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash? That dash, that line, represents time. It represents our time on this earth, however long or short it may be. And I hope that what we've learned this morning from the scriptures is that even if we have a long life in relation to the way people calculate it here, that we need to strive to live it to the glory of God, our Father. Because there will quickly come a day when time is going to come to an end and it's going to be replaced with eternity. And really, what matters most of all is not that dash. That's what the poem says. But you know, in math, there's something called a ray. And there's a point in time, a point, and then there's a line with an arrow on the end of it that never ends. And what's most important is that ray. From the time of our death until all of eternity, that's what matters most. That we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he put eternity in our hearts." And that needs to be our focus as we live in this place called time, that we remember that we need to get ready for eternity. We need to be ready for eternity. So if you're here this morning and you've never become a Christian, you have the opportunity to do that. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of the things you've done in the past. Confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, to have your sins washed away, to rise to walk in newness of life. Or if you've done that and you need the prayers of brothers and sisters here, make those things known while together we stand and sing.